Live from the Average Joe Nation studios in St. Clair, Missouri. This is the Average Joe Podcast, a show that proves that in this crazy world, a combination of common sense and a C plus average is actually a superpower. Sure, he's crazy, but what if he's right? Please welcome your host, Damon Gilbert.
All right, good morning, good evening, good afternoon, whatever it is, depends on what time you're listening to this. Before I get too far into this, I got several things I want to talk about today, but the one thing I just wanted to share with you, and I don't know if this has ever happened to you. I don't know when did we decide that it was okay to take a dog anywhere? When did I vote on that? Because I don't remember saying anything. Pretty sure I wasn't asked whether or not you could do that. What I mean by that is, who said you could take a dog into a restaurant with you? Who said that? Who said they could take you could take a dog into the the local grocery store with you? Who said that? Has there been a law passed that I'm unaware of? Because I didn't vote on it, and I vote against it. Now, having said that, I know where you're going, and you are 100% accurate. If it is, in fact, a service dog, it's a completely different story. It is. I understand that. If you're blind, if you're whatever. But these people who just self-diagnose themselves that they need this particular animal for anxiety issues is more than I can bear. Not to mention the fact a lot of them don't even have them on leashes, which I think is absolutely, it's uncivil. It really is. It really is. And the reason I bring this up, and I'm not going to dwell on it a lot, but I like to bring up things that have happened to me in the past and see if it's happened to you and see if you feel the same way I do. In this particular instance, I was in a drugstore. It's a local drugstore. I'm standing there at the counter. I'm actually getting, I won't go into it, but it has to do with a colonoscopy. So if you've ever had one of those, you know what I was doing. You know what I was getting. So I'm standing up there. I'm talking to the girl. I was actually asking her if I was getting it too early because it's several months from now, but she said, no, it won't go bad. Anything. Okay, fine. All of a sudden, I smell the most disgusting aroma I don't even know how to describe it. It was sickening. It was almost unearthly. It was so bad. And I had this older man standing beside me, and he's digging in the, he looked like a homeless guy. I'm not sure if he was or not, but I was trying to ignore him. I'm sorry. I do that. I don't strike up a conversation with a crazy person. That's one of my rules. I don't do that. He's digging in the candy jar. He's standing right beside me, and I thought it was him that stunk that bad. I did. It's the first thing I thought, okay, this makes sense. He's homeless. He's a nutcase. He's talking to himself. He stinks. I turn around, and no. It's a mid-sized dog on the floor beside him. This guy had taken it upon himself to bring an animal into a drugstore. And it wasn't on a leash. I don't remember voting for this, folks. I don't. And I know if I said something that it would go sideways. So I just got my stuff and I got out of there. Now, having said that, I have been in the position of being in a convenience store in the same town. And I walk in and there's a pit bull sitting there, not on a leash, with its owner. I was beside myself. I really was, because I guarantee you that guy doesn't have insurance. And if that dog bites me, you are going to be the ones that pays the price. I think this should be stopped. I think it should be illegal. That dog stunk so bad that it almost made your eyes burn. It was one of those type of aromas that you just, it was like onions. It was so bad. And it's not the dog's fault. I'm not asking him to change, but I don't think he should be in a place where people congregate. I'm against it when they're in a restaurant. I'm against it a lot of times. And I think at the bare minimum, they should be on a leash. That's my point. Okay. So now that we got that out of the way, I hate to be like that. And I know I may get, people may not agree with me on that. And I understand anxiety, whatever. But if you're that bad, then wouldn't you think it'd be best to have him on a leash? just for safety purposes, safety issues. And I know people treat their dogs like their children or they're like their humans. I'm probably guilty of the same thing. But I don't take my dog everywhere I go. I don't do that. I don't think it's fair to anybody to do that, much less the dog. He doesn't want to be there. So anyway, that's just one of those things that got under my skin today, and I had to share it with you. Number two, something I wanted to share with you, and I apologize for this, and I'm going to try my best to not do it anymore. And I've done it in the past, and to some, it won't be a big deal, but to me, it makes a big difference. When we talk about issues, sometimes I am under the impression, I guess it's my own fault, that everyone out there understands what I'm talking about, okay? Either it's in context, something that's leading up to the context, or something in the past of a story that I assume you know. I'm going to quit doing that, okay? I'm going to, if I bring up a story, I'm not going to go into depth to bring you up to date, but I'm going to fill in the blanks behind. I know a lot of people out here that are listening to me are well informed, and are aware of what goes on around them, but there are a lot that aren't. So if I bring up a particular instance and there's a backstory to it, I'm probably going to spend some time on that backstory a little bit. And if that isn't good, and that doesn't work for you, I'm sorry, but I've talked to a few people today. A friend of mine was at the house today, and we were talking about a number of things. I spent some time talking to her about just numerous things, and she was not aware of what I was talking about, and so I had to fill in the blanks for her. And I got to thinking about that. I thought, there's a lot of people out here that if I talk about, let's just say Tesla Motors and Elon Musk, and we're going to talk about him in a minute indirectly, but most people don't know where that name came from. A lot of people don't. They don't know about Nikola Tesla, born in the 1800s, well ahead of his time, probably at least 10 generations ahead of his time. He was an inventor. Again, a lot of you know that. Some people don't. So what I will do is, like I did to her, and the way I explained it to her, and believe me, I'm not infallible on this. A lot of times the stories I tell may not be 100% accurate, but you get the drift, okay? So I had to bring her up to date. Where did that name come from? There was a company named Nikola that was actually in the process of attempting to produce hydrogen-powered tractor trailers, which ended up being a scam, and the owner went to jail. And so in essence, I was trying to tell the story and link that to Tesla and the way Elon Musk is doing business, and who, by the way, is a con man extraordinaire, by the way. He's a con man that you've, he's probably the biggest con man of all time. And we're going to get into why. So anyway, I just wanted to go through that with you and warn you that I may go back, like a review a little bit, just to help everybody out, because as more people listen to me, which I'm hoping is going to happen over the next few months, as more people, and I advertise, I put my name out there a little bit more, there will be people coming into this, into our mix that don't know all this stuff. So if I repeat myself, I apologize. What I really want to talk about today is EVs. And I know that's not the top of the list of things to talk about today. There's a lot going on in the world. We've got foreign affairs that are falling apart. We've got Lloyd Austin. We're finding out more about his hospital visit. There's a lot going on, but I had to share this with you. I did. I want you to understand where I stand on EVs. EVs are a scam. There's no getting around it. They are a scam. They will never work to the extent that the federal government is telling you that they will. It is, I think it's a covert operation to control your ability to travel. That's what I believe it is. I think they know all of this is going to happen. And the reason I bring this up is because it's been just bitterly cold here in the Midwest for the last few days. And I saw several stories on this. One really interesting one in Chicago. of Tesla owners who had gone to their local Tesla charging stations to charge their vehicles up. Now, mind you, I think in Chicago the other day, it was, what was it, 15 degrees below zero, maybe? Just bitterly cold, bitterly cold. And you know what happens if you've got a weak battery in your car and you go out to start it on a morning that it's 0 degrees? Probably won't start. There's a good chance it won't. And if it does start, it's going to struggle to do that. It is because cold affects batteries. That is a chemical reaction taking place in that little box. And it, when it gets frozen, when it gets cold, it lowers its capabilities. It just does. By tens of percent, it really does. So what had happened in Chicago was these people were going pull up. They were going to pull up. I think there was a Tesla island. I don't know if they were superchargers or not, but nonetheless, they were chargers, Tesla chargers. I think there were 20 of them in this group. And every one of the islands, every one of the parking spots was full. And the story was that every one of these cars had run out of electricity because the Tesla chargers were not working. So you have 20 spots completely full, chargers aren't working, cars run out of electricity. What happens then? Well, the owner of the car either has to call a taxi or call someone to come and pick him up, him or her up, so they can get home and keep from freezing to death. This is never going to work. You cannot have, and what's funny is they all had to be towed away by a tow truck that's running on diesel power. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. But yet, the federal government says that by 2030 or 2035, you and I will be forced, if we're buying a new automobile, to buy an electric vehicle. It doesn't work. And in an urban setting, let's just say, for the sake of argument, in an urban setting, if you live in an urban setting, you have a garage to park this vehicle in, you have your own charging unit, and you only drive maybe 100 miles a week. That is possible. You may be able to use that vehicle on a daily basis. That's possible. But most people who live in urban settings, or a lot of them, live in apartment complexes with no charging stations available. The car usually sits outside. So when inclement weather shows up, and it's cold or it's super hot, suddenly instead of 250 miles of charge or distance you have, it may be 175. So this is not going to work. They think it is. They're forcing it on us. The infrastructure will not support it. We do not have enough electricity as it stands today, almost to fulfill our needs without the electric cars, much less having an entire... You know, how many vehicles are in the United States? 300 million? And that's not even including the tractor trailers and all the heavy equipment. And they're telling me that every one of those is going to be electric in a decade? No, that's not going to happen. It's not going to happen unless you want to control how and how far everyone drives. And I think that's a big part of it. I really do. And what do I mean by that? I mean, the federal government and the shadow government, the World Economic Forum, all these people that are so hell-bent on this carbon dioxide and zero emissions goals, they want you to be within a few 20 miles of your house your entire life. That's what they would like. They don't want you traveling. They don't want you going to see grandma in another state. They don't want any of that. They would prefer you just stayed in your little cocoon right around your home and you didn't venture out. Now, how are you going to do that? How are you going to make that happen? Well, you can't give them internal combustion engines and allow them to fuel their car up with gasoline. You can't do it. You can't do it. Because if you do, they can take a trip all the way across the country. And the powers that be don't want that. They don't want that at all. They want you staying in that little circle. You've heard, I don't know if you've ever heard of this, but There's a concept out there right now called 15-minute cities. It's a concept that was, I believe it was introduced by, I think it was the World Economic Forum, if I'm not mistaken. It was one of those dark, dark secret society types that are not elected by anybody. It may even be the UN. I'm not sure. These people are not elected. So you and I have no control over who these people are. But they have come up with a concept that says we are going to, we at some point in the future, we are going to build cities where everything you need, everything that you desire is within 15 minutes of your house or your home, your apartment, your, you know, 500 square foot apartment that they're wanting you to live in. It will be within 15 minutes. That means you work there, you get your groceries, your entertainment's within 15 minutes, your healthcare is within 15 minutes, all this. That's what they're talking about. And why do they want that? They want to control you. That's what they want. They're going to make it, from what I understand, from everything I've read, they're going to make it mandatory that you stay in these areas, especially in big cities. So in order for you to travel, say grandma lives 25 minutes away, you're going to have to get permission to travel outside that 15-mile radius. Yeah, that's what they're after. And this is one of the ways they're trying to make it come true, is to have you drive an electric car that only has so much distance possible for you to drive. I believe that. I firmly believe that. Yeah. Now, will this work in an urban area? Absolutely. If I lived in a city, there's a possibility I would have an electric car. The only problem is right now we're finding out that these lithium batteries are not safe. I would not park my Tesla or any vehicle, any EV in a garage. I wouldn't. Because if you haven't seen it, you need to look it up. Just look on YouTube anytime you want. Just write EV fires and see what you come up with. They're all over the place. These cars, because of thermal runaway, what'll happen is, I don't know if you're aware of this, but these batteries are actually nothing more than a pack of 9-volt, AA batteries. They're a little bit larger than a AA. Each one of them separate. And if one of those goes bad, it can start what they call a thermal reaction, and it's like a domino effect. One fails, the one next to it fails, the next one fails, the next one fails, and suddenly you've got an inferno burning, and it's almost impossible to put out with water. What they say, the typical internal combustion engine fire will take 500 gallons to put out. An EV, they're saying 25,000 gallons. I don't know if that's even accurate, because these things can, even if you, they'll still burn even if they're underwater, because in order to create the heat, everything's available. The oxygen, it's all there. It's internal. It's a chemical reaction. So these things are burning down all over the place. I've seen in Australia, they've had all kinds of trouble with this. What's going to happen is you're going to find out insurance companies you're not going to be able to get insurance for these cars, or it's going to be astronomical, because first of all, they may burn your house down. And if they're in an accident, because the way this battery is set up, there's no way to check to see if it's been damaged and know without a doubt that it's not going to go into this thermal runaway. So what do they do when a car's been in an accident? They total it. Even if it's been in a fender bender. I've seen some of these cars been in fender benders, and they don't know what's happened to that battery. They just total them. That gets to be expensive. Insurance companies are going to lose their ass on this. We've seen what Hertz has done. Hertz has done? They ordered 25,000 Teslas, and now they can't fix them. They can't get them fixed. The repair rates are astronomical. They can't resell them. They can't resell them because these things cost $100,000 a piece, and they can't get 25 for it when it's used. It's a total scam, folks. It's a scam. It's a scam you and I need to walk away from. Whatever you do, my advice now, unless, there are people that this would work for. I'm not saying there aren't. it's kind of like having a golf cart. Okay. If all you got to do is go up a block to the store, a golf cart would work. Same thing with an electric car. If you don't commute long distances, this may work for you. I'm not saying it won't, but you got to be very careful with them. You got to be very careful. This is like something out of a science fiction movie. It really is. It really is. And we've moved along too fast with this. You've got so many problems that have not been addressed with these electric cars. It just goes on and on, not only with the production, but with the cost. And the cost is just astronomical. Most of these cars are around $70,000. I don't know about you, but I can't afford a $70,000 automobile. I just can't. I can't justify it. I just can't justify it, especially when the insurance is going to be twice as high. I can't do that. So these cars are not selling. And what's funny is the only reason it's $70,000 is because of government subsidies. That car should cost $125,000. That's the kind of subsidy that you and I as a taxpayer, our taxes are going to these big car manufacturers. And they're making these cars, basically losing money on them, selling them at $70,000. But because they're getting this subsidy, they're probably breaking even, maybe. And now they can't sell them. Car lots are absolutely full of these things. This is the biggest scam perpetrated on the American public in quite some time. And the market itself, one of the bigger problems is the market itself is becoming diluted. Because a lot of people out there, and I'll say this with a straight face, the environmentalists, the lefties, trying to save the world, they'll tell you, they'll drive around their little Tesla because they'll say to themselves, see, look at me, I'm doing my thing to save the world. The only thing they don't tell you is they've got an SUV back at the house that's internal combustion engine that gets about 12 miles a gallon. And you don't want to know why they got that? Because it's reliable. That's why. And they need it as not as a backup, but they need that as their main vehicle. And the electric car they can drive around on the weekend and show everybody how environmentally awake they are. That's what this is all about. It's ridiculous. Joe Biden is out of his mind. This administration has lost their minds. There's no way that this works out. EVs are not going to be part. They're going to be a segment of our infrastructure and our transportation. They'll be a segment. There's nothing wrong with that. But they're not going to be the end-all be-all. And I can tell you this, I don't think you and I are going to be driving electric cars anytime soon. Because number one, I can't afford it. And number two, I don't want it. Because it's dangerous. And it doesn't serve the purpose. And now getting to Elon Musk. And I know I don't want to go off on a rant here on Elon. Because Elon, as I've told you before, I think he has the broken clock syndrome. He's right twice a day, okay? He's right on Twitter about his, freedom of speech. I have no problem with that. I back him 100% on that. He does not like DEI, which is, diversity, equity, and inclusion, being in a work environment. He's right about that. And when it's in the transportation business, as far as airlines, it's going to get somebody killed. So he's right about that. But getting back to the electric vehicles, Tesla is hurting right now. I don't know what their stock's trading at right now, but he's losing millions a day. And there's a reason for that, because the PR that they're getting on Tesla, well, let's see, he's down. Ooh, let's see here. Tesla, TES. Selling at $215 a share. It's down almost $5. That was selling for $500 not long ago. He's in a lot of trouble. He's always banked, and he's put everything in to self-driving vehicles. And folks, I'm here to tell you that's never going to happen. Not with the technology we've got today. Not with the traffic we've got today. It's never going to happen. You know that as well as I do. Do you have people in your circle that think that that's going to come to fruition at some point? Because it's not. You can tell them for me, and know it and say it with a lot of confidence that this is never going to happen. Never. Yeah, because the technology is simply not there. It's simply not there. It doesn't serve the purposes of the people buying them. The range is unbelievably low. And this new truck that he's come out with, the Cybertruck, it serves absolutely no purpose. I don't know what else to say. I don't know. Have you seen it? It looks like something from, I don't know, The Fifth Element or something. Or maybe a more modern version of Back to the Future car, you know, the DeLorean, which it's made out of stainless steel. They've got all kinds of problems. This whole thing is going to come tumbling down at some point. And I hate to dwell on Elon Musk, and I don't want to bore you people with that, but EVs in general are a scam. Don't let anybody kid you. Don't let anybody kid you. It is. It's been perpetrated on us. It's been handed to us. It's actually been forced down our throats. Yeah. And what's funny is Joe Biden's the one that did it. He's the one that instigated this whole thing. I remember him having that talk. You know how he talks like this, real, like he's quiet, really creepy. He was talking to some little girl. Imagine that. Yeah. Joe Biden talking to a little girl. And I don't think he molested this one. I don't think he touched her or anything, but he was telling her that in her lifetime, oil would be a thing of the past. Petroleum would be a thing of the past. He promised her that. He did. And what did he start doing? He shut down the pipelines immediately when he started. The day he took office, he shut down the pipelines. He shut down leasing of federal land to drill oil on. And what happened? The price of oil skyrocketed. They say that the president has no control over the price of oil. Of course he does. Of course he does. If he didn't, then Trump would not have gotten the price of gas down to $1.85. And it stands right now at about like $2.60. So they keep bragging about how the price of gas has come down. I don't understand this, Katrina Jean-Pierre. You're the one that told me that the president has no control over that. Oh, I see. He's only got control over it when the news is good, not when the news is bad. Okay, I'm following you then. Oh, very good. Okay. So here's a funny thing. We have changed our policies. Joe Biden has changed his policy. Now all of a sudden we're drilling. We're drilling again. We are. We're doing exactly what Trump was doing in 2016 to 2020. But we're not telling anybody. I bet you haven't heard about that. It's not on the news. Mainstream media doesn't touch it at all. They're not gonna tell you this. No, because it doesn't fit the narrative. We're supposed to be carbon free, right? That's what we're striving for. But what they don't tell you is he's opened up leasing again. It's not drill, baby, drill, because nobody's saying that out loud, but that's what they're talking about. And our foreign policy has changed. Have you noticed that? The Houthis are now suddenly a terrorist group where they weren't about 2 years ago. What changed? I really don't know. I don't know. Biden told me last week that it was irrelevant that they weren't on the terrorist list. But I find out yesterday or today that they're back on the terrorist list. Now, never mind. I mean, putting aside the fact that they're attacking shipping in the Sea of the Red Sea, right off their coast, shooting missiles at U.S. flagged cargo ships, and suddenly, because nobody wants to go through there anymore, the cost of getting a container from, let's say, Japan to Europe is quadrupled, the price has. So you and I are going to feel the effects of that. Inflation will be back again with a vengeance. It may not be this month, it may not be next month, but it will show up. That cost will be passed along to the consumer. So what have we done? We changed our foreign policy. We're doing exactly we're attempting to do. You're never going to be able to do what Trump did. There's no way. You're not going to be able to do that because these guys are clueless. Clueless. Blinken doesn't have a clue what he's doing. I could be a better Secretary of State than he is. And that's saying something. And you've got a whole laundry list of guys that work there that absolutely are completely in over their heads. They have no clue what they're doing. But we're moving towards that way. Why are we doing that? Well, because it worked. That's why. That's why it did work, in fact. So here we stand on the threshold of World War III. And what do we got? We got a Secretary of Defense who's gone for a week and doesn't tell anybody. Yeah. I'm reading an article here. It says 9/11 or 911 call. Lloyd Austin asked the EMS to be subtle en route to the hospital. He didn't want anybody to know that he was going. He wanted to keep it on the down low. That is, folks, not to change the subject, but let's move on. That is an offense that should require you being terminated. It is. There's no getting around it. And I wouldn't care who's in office. It could be Donald Trump's Secretary of Defense. I would say the same thing. That guy needs to go. You need to lay the law down, put your foot down, and say, we will not tolerate this. And he's not going to do it. Biden's supporting him 100%. That's piss poor leadership. It really is. There are times when you have to fire people. That's exactly what you have to do. Hell, I had to fire myself once. I did. I screwed up so bad one day. I had to call me into the office and say, look, pal, get your shit and get out of here. I've had it with you. I mean, my alternate personality had to go. You have to do that every once in a while. Look him dead in the eye and say, you're gone. That he should demand his resignation tomorrow. He should. And he's not going to because he's not a very good leader. That's why I don't like this guy. One of the main reasons I don't like Joe Biden is because he's unqualified for the position. That's my biggest concern with him. Not that he steals and then he's corrupt. I really don't care about that. In the scheme of things, that means nothing to me. My biggest concern is that he's unqualified and the people he hires are unqualified. That's my biggest bitch with him. It really is. Not to mention the fact that they stole the 2020 election to get him in there. He shouldn't even be there. Yeah. So, what else? I wanted to let you know also that the liberals are already preparing to challenge the election if Trump wins. So prepare for that. It's going to be a long 2024. It really is. I don't know if Manchin's going to get into this deal. Joe Manchin from West Virginia, he's kicking it around as well. Is he going to challenge Joe Biden? I don't know. He's probably going to have to make a decision here pretty quickly. Yeah. So this is all happening at once. And I know I'm talking about EVs. it's Wednesday. What are you going to do? I just thought it was something I could bring up that affected you on a day-to-day basis and give you a little warning about that, about the EVs. Now, moving right along, let's get into the serious stuff. Oh my goodness, already 32 minutes. I apologize. I'm running off at the mouth. What I really wanted to talk to you today is, I don't know if you realize this, but the World Economic Forum met in the last few days, and they may still be meeting right now. They're talking about, they're bringing it up constantly about Disease X, okay? As a matter of fact, today I believe they're having an entire session at the WEF's yearly gathering that has been titled Preparing for Disease X, okay? Disease X. I'm going to read you this. It said, should all of this talk about Disease X alarm us? Well, according to the WHO, Disease X is an unknown, hypothetical disease that could potentially kill millions upon millions of people. It is supposed to be a purely theoretical disease. But by giving it a name, they're basically inviting people to come up with all sorts of theories about it. And that is especially true now that experts have speculated that it could cause 20 times more deaths than COVID did in 2020. Now, should that scare you? I think it should. I think it's something you should really think about because these people don't bring this stuff up for no reason. They've got an agenda that they're trying to work with. And when you've got people like, who would it be? Bill Gates, you know, with his climate hoax, and you got John Kerry there appearing on four different stages to discuss energy transition. John Kerry is really big on this energy transition. He doesn't mind flying around the world on his own private jet, but you can't have a internal combustion engine or a lawnmower. That's pretty self-righteous, if you ask me. So you've got Pfizer there. You've got OpenAI AI sources. Sam Altman talking about an artificial intelligence. These people are serious. They really are, and they continue to talk about Disease X. Yeah, and even in the United States, in June of last year, a bill known as the Disease X Act of 2023 was introduced in the United States House of Representatives. So they're talking about it. They've got something going on here. Is it going to be more of COVID-19 kind of stuff where it's manufactured and it's unleashed on the American public and the world as whole? Is it? I think it probably is. I think that's exactly what they're planning on doing. And it may even be this year. I'm not 100% sure that's not going to happen. So watch your news. Watch your news, because this would be perfect for them. What these people, these unelected officials in the WHO, in the World Economic Forum, the United Nations, the Trilateral Commission, Bilderberg, there's a laundry list of these people. None of them are elected to office. None of them. They are talking about this, and their main concern is population reduction. They would prefer you and I and everyone you know were dead. And I know that's a terrible thing to say, but that's what they want. They would prefer that you and I were a nuisance to them. We're a pain in the ass. All we do is use resources, and they don't like that. They want what was the Georgia Stone? If you know what I'm talking about, it was in Georgia. It looked basically like Georgia Guidestone. That's what it was. Georgia Guidestone. If you don't know what that is, look it up. I could go into some detail about that, but it basically had the wishes of the elite. And they had it, I think there were 14 different segments of it. It wasn't like the Ten Commandments. It was a little more extensive than that. But one of the main issues that was involved in this was they would like to get the world's population down to 500 million. 500 million. There's that many people that live in, that's just a little bit more than what live in the United States. That would be worldwide. That's what they're shooting for. They think that would be admirable. They think that that would save the planet. That's what they want to do. The WEF is one of the worst. I don't know why they don't bomb that place. Somebody should go in there, and just eliminate. If you, theoretically, I'm not saying anybody do this that I believe, that it should be done. But if those people that were in that building on a Wednesday, which is today, of course it would be last night to them, but nonetheless, if they were all in there and that building just disappeared for some reason, the world would be a better place. It really would. These people need to go. They hate you because you're not a billionaire. You are a nuisance. You're like so many ants running around. They just stomp on. They could stomp on you if they had the chance. That's what this Disease X is all about. I firmly believe it. I do. And now is Disease X going to have something to do with COVID? I don't know. Is it going to have something to do with the COVID vaccines? Wouldn't surprise me. Maybe the two go hand in hand. They're saying it may be the measles. I don't know. But when an evil organization like this, the WEF and the WHO, when they start talking about something that's theoretical, you can bet your bottom dollar that there's something going on. Something behind the scenes that they're working on. It's not theoretical. It never is. Anybody who tells you that, what do they say? Anything you see that the Defense Department, flight or weapons they've got, anything they've got, it's 20 years old. If they're telling you about it and they're allowing you to see it, it's at least 20 years old. So that means that they have things that are secret that are 20 years ahead of this technology. When they brought out the B-1 bomber and the stealth capabilities, that was old news. It was. I read about that for several years after the fact. anyone in that business will tell you that's old stuff. We've got stuff, new stuff that you wouldn't even believe. That's how it works. So when they talk about something that's theoretical, you can bet they've got it already figured out. Now, how are they going to do this? How are they going to unleash it? I don't know. And I don't want anybody to lose sleep over this, but I want you to be aware of it. Because if you haven't heard about Disease X, you're going to hear more about it. It won't be in mainstream media, chances are. It won't be in mainstream media. But there's something going on. They're cooking something up. I guarantee it. Let's see. What else would I like to talk about today? Ted Cruz has endorsed Donald Trump. And Ted Cruz says that the race is over. And I think that's interesting. Because Ted Cruz and Donald Trump were not the best of friends. Ted Cruz actually won the Iowa caucus back in 2016. So, interesting. He's saying the race is over already. The other day, I think it was it yesterday? Trump had a rally, and guess who was there? Vic Ramaswamy. And Trump said, he congratulated him on a great race. He said that he was a competent man. I can't remember exactly the quote, but he also said that Mr. Ramaswamy was going to be working for him for a long time. Really interesting. Wonder what that means. Does that mean he's going to be on the, I don't know, the staff? Is he going to be on the staff? Is he going to be on his cabinet? Or quite possibly, is he going to be a vice presidential candidate? I don't know. Interesting. Now, remember, Trump was bad-mouthing him a few days ago, prior to the Iowa caucuses. He was. He made a little bit of fun of him, kind of put him down. You know, he was coming in dead last or whatever. Anyway, Ramaswamy gets, what, 3% of the vote in the caucus? Bows out, very same day, endorses Trump. And now he's at his rallies, giving speeches for him. With Donald Trump in the back, you could see him right over his shoulder. I'd say that's telling. I'd say he's in the top five list, wouldn't you? Now, Donald Trump may have a completely different way of looking at this. He may have chosen his running mate already, and it may not be Ramaswamy. I'm not saying it is. What I'm saying is, I think he's going to be a part of this administration. I do. Now, I have one more thing I wanted to cover right before we leave. I'm going to wrap this up. I know this has been kind of a off-the-wall kind of thing, and I apologize for that. I'll have more informative ones in the future. This was just one I just wanted to do. What was it here? Putin says, and he said this day before yesterday, U.S. elections have been rigged by $10 mail-in ballots. Putin said that. Now, mind you, Putin is running for re-election, and it's going to be a joke. He's going to be re-elected once again. But the fact that he says that the 2020 election was rigged, I think it's hilarious. I really do. I do. I loved that. And I think that's very telling. Now, what is he saying? He's saying I'd rather have Trump as the president. I doubt it. They didn't. He's like the counter. He's like the yin and the yang to, they're yin and yang to each other. They really are. They're both very, very headstrong. They think they're tough guys. I think that's just hilarious that he came out and said that. Basically, the 2020 election was stolen. I find that amazing. Okay, that's about all I got today. Again, I apologize for the yammering. I'll do better next time. How about that? I appreciate you listening. And if you know of anyone who would be interested in this, please pass it along. That would be great for me. At some point, I'm thinking about maybe making this a subscription-based event where I would be on the air at least five times a week. You and I would become best pals for that, you know. And I would make a few bucks off of it. I'm not trying to fool you. That's what I want to do. But I want to be able to do it and feel like I'm contributing. And I don't know, I've listened to people on YouTube, and you get to the point where they become part of the family, and that's what I would like to do. So we'll see how that works out. It's not going to be today. It's not going to be tomorrow. It'll probably be, you know, a few weeks in the future once I get my my organ, you know, I get everything organized. And it's not going to be a lot, but it's going to be a pat on my back for a little bit of entertainment and a little bit of information. So if you know of anybody that would like this and would enjoy this, you pass it along to them. And I also want to thank you folks for listening. I really do. I really appreciate it. I've appreciated the feedback from people I've met and talked to that have enjoyed this. And it makes me feel good. It does. It does. It makes me feel good. It makes me feel like I'm contributing and I'm helping out. And maybe I'm entertaining you a little bit. And that's what I'm shooting for. I like this just to be a conversation between me and you. That's what it's all about. Just across the kitchen table or the dining room table. Just like we're sitting having a meal and we're having a discussion. That's what I want. I want everybody to feel comfortable. And if you think I'm full of shit, tell me, okay? I'll take it for what it's worth. You know, any kind of criticism, I'm more than happy to listen to. I am who I am. I believe Popeye said that. I am what I am, and that's who I am. That's all I can say. So anyway, it is January 18th. It is a Thursday, and Joe Biden is the worst president in American history. Let's go, Brandon.
As always, thanks for listening to the Average Joe podcast. Be sure to check out our website at www.averagejoenation.media and follow us on social media. Remember, if you haven't told all your friends, you're wrong.